Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
And today, we're talking about Minute 2. The Minute 2 of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Minute 2 starts with a continuation of the crawl, the opening crawl floating into space there. And it ends with a semi-familiar feeling, semi-familiar shot of there's a planet and there's a big ship obscuring it. And it's a very Star Wars-y shot.
So do we finally learn that what Leia was desperate to find her brother Luke and gain his... Do we know what he gained?
Didn't write it down.
Okay. Well, sorry.
Luke, did you?
No.
Oh, gain his...
Wow.
Trust.
Gain his support.
Gain his help.
Help.
I need somebody. His help in, and this is one of my notes actually, restoring peace and justice to the galaxy. Because that's the role of the Jedi.
See, now that's what's weird about it. Because as we talked about yesterday, the Republic is around.
Right.
So it's not like the justice has... Like, is the Republic not a just thing? Just because the First Order is around?
Right.
Anyway, you can't look at these things too closely.
Well, it's interesting, because like, I guess there's less... So peace and maybe other things. So like
peace,
order,
I can understand. Okay.
Order?
Order!
Yeah. is still there. Peace and justice aren't. So there's no justice because there's no peace. No justice, no peace.
Oh, I see. Catchy.
I don't know. It is interesting. I guess because then they can go, like, if he wasn't keeping them in line, then they're not rabble-rousing and, you know,
right,
being pests who destroy planets. So Princess Leia sends her most daring pilot. Which is, I think, a fun way to describe. They don't mention him by name, so I won't now. But her most daring pilot. Is
daring.
Because it's her, so it's within her personal command. You know, she's General Leia, and so she's within her command. She's got this daring pilot that's interesting way of... It kind of harkens back to a little bit like, you know, the Empire's Sinister Agents or the Vile Gangster. Like, it's that, you know...
Descriptor.
Yeah.
Daring pilot. It's funny to me that we don't really, I guess not funny, but we don't really know. I'm surprised, like, Leia's not the president of the Republic. Or the,
She was always, right, more of a commander than, she wasn't really into the...
The government thing. She was just did that because her father pressured her to go into the family business.
Although, I don't know. She was an ambassador, a senator, or whatever, but she was all running, like, secret missions and stuff like that.
And she was, like, a kid. She was, like, 18.
Right.
So,
but
I wonder what she has been doing this whole time. I guess we'll hopefully find out.
There will be, I'm sure, a story about that, or several stories about that. she sent her most daring pilot on a secret mission to Jakku.
Jakku?
Yeah. that's so this is our first location,
the first proper name other than Luke,
right,
and
other
Leia.
Than ones that we knew. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Luke and Leia, and the factions, First Order,
yeah,
Republic,
first,
Resistance,
yeah,
but first, yeah, but it's not capitalized, Jakku.
It's not?
No. I mean, it's capitalized, but it's not all caps. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Capitalized.
Yeah, yeah.
So sorry.
E. Cummings kind of, it's the humble planet.
Yeah, it's not in all caps, which is interesting. The only things in all caps are the factions.
Mm-hmm.
Cap faction. And on Jakku, where an old ally has discovered a clue to Luke's whereabouts.
Yeah.
Which it sets up, you know, it. I like that during this gap, they refer to a lot of stuff. And you know, this will come up obviously multiple times, but the thing that J.J. Abrams is good at is kind of setting up mystery.
Yeah, he's very good at that.
Resolving it, we'll see. But setting up mystery and kind of adding, making it seem like, okay, there's a whole history here.
Yeah,
you
stuff
know,
has been going on.
Interesting things that we don't know about.
Yeah.
You know, not connecting every dot between A and B.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can speculate, and that's where the fun begins.
Although, I probably thought that when it said an old ally, I thought it was going to be someone that we had met.
Right.
The fact
right.
that it's like an old ally, huh? Someone from the old days. But it turns out it's not. And I like that. I like that it's not,
right.
Oh, look, it's Wedge, or, you know, like, it, for once, it's not making the universe seem very tiny and that everyone, you know, it's one
right.
neighborhood where everyone knows each other.
Would you feel differently if this was Wedge in the beginning? Wedge is a good example because he's not, like, not overused. And it's
in
not
this
too,
movie,
like,
he's definitely not overused.
Well, yeah. You know, he's a good example of that kind of periphery character who's, you know, and again, this is the movie does a good job of using some of them in mm-hmm. different ways, but these characters that we know of, but that aren't, you know, Luke, Leia, Han.
The gang.
Yeah.
Now I'm saying I'm glad it's not Wedge,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure if it had been Wedge, I would have been fine with it. I wouldn't have said, you know what, it should have been Max von Sydow playing the playing that old guy. And the fact that it's Wedge, you know, I would have been okay with it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not the world's biggest Wedge fan.
Right.
But maybe he's finally making up for the fact that he abandoned Luke by giving him, that's ironic, he's handing him plans how to find Luke. He's like, why don't you go find him? Sorry. He runs away.
Yeah, it's a good, the crawl, so that's the end of the crawl. It gives a good kind mm-hmm. of, wets your whistle. It gives you a good kind of appetite for, like, okay, here's Star Wars that you know. There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on, and there's a mystery.
Yeah.
And here we go.
Just gives you the basics of what you need to know.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
And on with the show.
So that fades into space, and then, you know, pan down, like most of them do, tilts down, you know, a camera down. I went back and looked at some of the other ones to try to remember. Like they don't all. Some of them go up. Some
clones.
Of them go down.
Clones goes up.
Right. Doesn't Revenge of the Sith go? No, it goes like twists around or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's this big space battle.
Right.
The big, you know, brackish atmosphere.
Right.
Where it's like on the border between.
That's
the term for that, I know, but
brackish atmosphere. I saw
the bounty hunter.
That's, yeah, so then a very kind of familiar, again, the language of this film is familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll also see sometimes not, but...
Oh, yeah, there's a...
It's something, so I'll go back to the commentary track again, because JJ was talking about how when they started making it, he said, we went backwards to go forwards. We embraced everything that we could that felt to us distinctly Star Wars, in order to tell a story that was very much about moving forward, which I think is an accurate description of kind of how this goes. And so you can see, and obviously we'll keep pointing them out, not necessarily in a criticism way, in a, like, you know, like, oh, they're just reusing that, but in a way of, like, here are some of the ways, you know, some more subtle than others, that they referenced Star Wars without referencing it, without it being exactly, you know, here are some of the ways they let you know it was Star Wars,
right,
just without having, you know, Luke Skywalker in the frame,
right?
And there's good. There's a whole lot of examples of them, and like we said, some more successful than others, at least to my amateur eyes.
Yeah. So,
my professional eyes. We do this.
It's true.
We do this. This is a gig.
Semi-pro eyes.
Yeah. So yeah, then so this familiar kind of camera move, you know, like as the crawl fades away into the space, drifts away into space, camera down, you see a planet, and then you see a what we can assume later is a Star Destroyer.
It's hard to tell at first. You're
some
like,
kind
who?
Of, yeah. Like, is that the Chrysler building?
It's very clever.
So it's just this shape kind of coming up kind of and starting to obscure the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we know what planet that is. Is that the, because it's not, like, we'll find out tomorrow that, you know, the kind of ship comes up and then stuff comes out of it kind of towards us and I think goes down to Jakku. So I don't think that's Jakku. Plus, it looks bluer. I think Jakku would normally be a little yellowy orange.
Yeah, I was watching a YouTube video and they referred to that as Jakku, but I don't think that's the case. Unless the other half of the planet is all water to make up for the fact that it's like one big beach planet.
Yeah, that's like, so it's like there's like an equator of beach and then yeah. The rest of it is. So in the script, I'm looking at it now.
Mm-hmm.
In the script, it says, pan across the starfield to a bright moon.
Huh.
So maybe that's a moon of Jakku.
Hmm. Because it's funny because that planet looks like it has a moon.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that
it's thing that... two moons.
Yeah.
And a vast Star Destroyer unlike any we have seen hurtles past us.
Hmm. I wouldn't say it's hurtling, but yeah.
Well, with the size of it.
Right.
Look at the size of that thing.
The Finalizer. I guess we'll talk about that tomorrow. That's the name of the Star Destroyer, the Finalizer.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Hmm. I don't know that I like that.
Hmm.
Although it is a little bit like... That smacks to me of like, you know, the it's like the Executor, but different. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Like...
Welcome to the Force Awakens.
Yeah, well... Like here's a like a Star Destroyer is even bigger, and it's yeah. Like it's the same you know it too samey. Whereas I feel like they do something you know they do it really well sometimes, but I feel like that one and again that's probably not you know in the script that's probably later ancillary materials.
What were you what were your feelings about J.J. Abrams prior to this? Were you a fan of his work? Were you a
I realized that I'm not as familiar as I could be. You know, I hear varying degrees on how involved he was in Lost, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really watch any of his other stuff until Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't have his filmography in front of me, but I don't think I don't think that I've seen much else of his other than I liked the Star Treks, okay. Like the first one, you know, I felt like that was fun. You know, each one I was like, that was fun. You know, I never got them totally. I was never like super into any of them.
Mm-hmm. Did he do that? Super 8? Is that him?
Yeah, Super 8.
I saw that one. I liked Alias when that started. That was when he was just a kid.
Yeah,
I didn't see
Felicity,
the Mission Impossible,
Alias, Lost, Fringe, Undercovers. Yeah, but as far as films directed, it was just the first one. I guess was Mission Impossible 3.
Wow.
Then Star Trek, then Super 8, then Star Trek Into Darkness, and then Force Awakens.
Is Mission Impossible 3? you didn't see it. So it's like,
I've not seen any of the Mission Impossible.
I only saw one, and it's the one with. Philip Seymour Hoffman, but and I'm thinking that might be three, but I don't know for sure.
I don't know.
So I might have accidentally seen a J.J. Abrams movie.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So I feel like, you know, I had an okay handle on him, and if he was involved and lost as much as people give him credit for,
mm-hmm.
Then I think that's a great person that you want setting up, that you want doing the first act of
right.
this.
Yeah.
You want them to just throw a bunch of really cool mysteries out there,
yeah.
and then bring in the cleaning crew. Bring in some folks who are really good at kind of wrapping stuff up. Yeah, to close it out.
The relief director.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, here comes Ron Howard out of the dugout.
So it'll be interesting again as we're recording this episode mm-hmm. 9. Epics has not been released or titled or
yeah.
I believe it's just barely started filming. But interesting to see where he goes with that, and you know, there's obviously a lot of people involved in helping to shape the story. So hopefully we can wrap this up. But I think it's a great person to do a new essentially what they're doing is an in-continuity reboot, kind of like with Star Trek, a very similar,
right?
Less drastic with Star Trek, where it. You know, it they didn't alter the timeline and create a whole new
in this thing. One. Yeah,
Yeah, in Star Trek, it's like they had to involve time travel and alternate realities in order to make kind of like, yeah, this is also Star Trek, but it don't worry, your Star Trek still exists.
Right.
You know, so to do that a lot softer, it's a lot softer of a reboot, a legacy sequel, if you will.
Well, that's the solution to your EU problem. Then just say it's an alternate timeline.
There you go. Somebody should just throw in a story. It's like Crisis.
That's, yeah.
You know, they keep throwing in stories about, you know, then, oh, okay, well, all this other stuff still exists.
That was the real reason Luke Skywalker vanished. He was looking for marriage. He was trying to find marriage 8.
In a different reality.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Somebody go write that. That at some point, there's this, in one of the cartoons, didn't they introduce some kind of like time travel, kind of future changing stuff?
I think they might have. I haven't kept up on it, but
that could be them kind of creating a door for themselves mm-hmm. to then have people have, you know, basically EU. You could even have an EU anthology where each one they go through a different portal. It's like Sliders or something.
I love alternate versions of things.
Yeah.
Then
you must love this movie.
I do. I actually thought it was while I was watching it. It didn't take long to catch on to the fact that they were. You know, following more or less the same kind of pattern, but I didn't mind that. It made me appreciate the kind of clever twists they gave stuff, so that it wasn't an exact copy of everything. It was almost like they just put it in a blender, mashed it all, you know, mixed it all up, and then set it out again. And you're like, oh, now now Luke Skywalker is a girl, and now you know, Han Solo is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and all this stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's almost like. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, not like listening to an album on shuffle or something like that, or like playing maybe like a remastered or like hearing a cover version of your favorite song where you're like, I don't know. Is that the guitar part?
Yeah. And then you go back. It's familiar, but it's a little different.
But yeah, I do, you know, I would much rather this, which a movie that I liked a lot. You notice a paragraph ago, I loved this movie. And now it's like a movie that I like a lot.
Well, the best part is the beginning. So.
But you know, I'd much rather have this, like a well done kind of, you know, movie that borrows a lot structurally from Star Wars than like a hard reboot, just kind of like, hey, we're remaking Star Wars, like,
right? Yeah,
like I'll take what I can get, and in this case, I like what I got.
Mm-hmm. You know what else you got?
What did I get?
What other movies opened that opening weekend?
Oh.
Just to set the... I don't have any other things about this particular minute. Is there anything else you wanted to cover about this particular minute? I
was going to do some... No, it's just kind of like...
Some context.
Extra info. Yeah. And then, go ahead.
Well, obviously, it might surprise people to know that there's a lot of hype about Star Wars coming out.
Really?
And, you know, merchandising and whatnot. And only three movies opened that weekend. Oh, the three other movies opened that weekend besides Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
One of them was Sisters. Which was a comedy with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Oh, right. I remember it.
What's that called? Cross-marking? Where you're trying to get the people who don't want to go see Star Wars.
Right, yeah.
And then the other two movies are for people who couldn't get in to see Star Wars. It was something called He Never Died, which was a Henry Rollins action movie.
Really?
And then another movie called Extraction, which was a Bruce Willis action movie.
Huh.
And not surprisingly, both of these movies are more or less...
forgotten.
No one knows what they are. So
I'd like to go back and watch those now. Interesting.
Overall that year it was a kind of a wonk, other than Star Wars and Mad Max Fury Road, which came out that
same year.
Year. Yeah, this came out in December of 15.
Oh, right.
This is the first one that wasn't in May.
Right. We didn't talk about that they switched it to in order to give themselves time. They were like, we're going to have a movie out in 2015. And then they were like, December 28th or whatever. Like,
December 31st at 11 p.m. Yeah. Watch for the debut. December 18th, right?
I think it was. Something like that. Yeah. But to give themselves a little bit more time, which was fine. I'm fine with that. And also, box office wise, I think there's strategy to that too.
Oh, yeah, totally. So some other movies that came out, that's Age of Ultron, which is widely regarded as the weaker of the Avengers.
Which I loved.
Spectre, which is commonly regarded as the weaker of the James Bond. Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, also considered the weakest.
Oh.
Ant-Man, Jurassic World.
I loved Ant-Man.
Terminator Genesis, and the first 50 Shades of Grey movie all came out that summer.
I wonder if that's like... again, sorry to tie it back to a sports analogy, but it's like, you know, where a team's losing like 20-2.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just in the eighth inning. They're like, I don't know. Let the second baseman pitch, you know, just throw in a position player who's like, I've always wanted to pitch. I'm like, great, go for it, Jimmy. And like, I wonder if it's that kind of a thing where they're like, you know, well, if we do this now, it'll probably come out the year that Star Wars is coming out. So let's just go with the, you know, like...
What's the weakest of our Terminator scripts?
Right, yeah.
Let's go with that one.
Yeah. Because it'll keep the boat, you know, it won't be a total bomb. It'll keep the boat afloat, but...
Yeah. Has there been another Terminator since Genesis?
I don't know. Has there been another Terminator since Terminator 2? I don't know.
There's Terminator 3, and I think Genesis... Oh, no, the one with
something
Christian
about
Bale.
Machines.
Rise of the Machines. That would have been 4, so Genesis would have been 5.
I don't know.
Crazy.
I haven't seen... This is where I... The more we talk about popular movies, the older I sound. Yeah. Other than I like the Marvel stuff. But I like stuff that's owned by Disney.
But it's funny that out of all those movies I mentioned, only 50 Shades of Grey is not based on anything from the 80s. And I guess Ant-Man.
I mean, it's based on stuff from the 80s.
Well, he was around in the 80s, but it was. But all those other things were reboots or sequels to franchises that were, you know,
right,
30 years old.
But technically, Marvel is basically one large franchise, so it's...
You mean like so based on the comics?
Well, yeah, it's just like, and it ties into, you know, it's an MCU film.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah. So it was part of it was part of a...
Yeah.
So, boy, Hollywood needs some original ideas, right?
Right.
Totally.
We say as we, on the one hand, it's like, yeah, you know, Hollywood's out of ideas, and on the other hand, it's like, also this movie that borrows a lot from the movies, but which we like, as we keep saying, you know, you can do it well, just because, you know, there's a lot of things are sequels, and Mad Max also same thing, where it's like, all right, great, it's a sequel essentially, you know, it's set in the same universe and it's got a brand name attached to it, but it was a well done film,
yeah,
so
mm-hmm.
you can. You know, you can do both. There's room for everybody here.
Do you think there will eventually be a Marvel Star Wars crossover?
Movie wise?
No. You said movie wise, so that means you think in other
comics and
yeah,
stuff. I'm sure they'll do it.
Yeah.
Toys, but they're already doing it.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's a Lego movie too, which is kind of the nexus of all pop culture.
Right. Yeah.
Everything crossed over there. So.
Yeah. No, I don't think they'll ever do a movie crossover.
You don't think there'll be a Freddy versus Jason versus Luke Skywalker?
Well, no. They could now that if the sale goes through, they can do Alien. Star Wars versus Alien.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done that before, and they never did. Fox never did that, even though they had both. Right?
That's true, but Lucas owned that though, so it's not like they.
That's
could
true. They couldn't have just run yeah. run around with it. Maybe
who'd
now.
Who would you like to see meet the alien in that context?
Frankenstein.
Like, you want to have Luke fight the alien?
Mm.
Chewie fight the alien?
You know what? This is going to make
Rathgar fight you.
Well, this is going to make all the the fanboys bristle and mm-hmm. with excitement. But I think that would be a good case for Boba Fett. Boba Fett versus Alien, fine. Just make it like a stupid action movie, and I will totally enjoy that. And don't.
Okay, you're
have
grudgingly.
Like,
all right, that's the only one that's allowed.
Yeah, don't. You know, I don't want anybody to have emotions in that. I just want it to be, kind of. Clever little, not wisecracks, but the Schwarzenegger kind of, little bad puns as I shoot somebody kind of a thing. Like James Bond and Arnold Schwarzenegger do them.
I was going to say actually that neither of them, the alien wouldn't speak and Boba Fett wouldn't speak in the whole movie.
Yeah, that would be great.
You could have maybe like Rob Schneider as like his goofy sidekick.
I'm out.
Well, he gets killed by the alien.
Is he the alien sidekick or is he Boba Fett's sidekick?
He's Boba Fett's sidekick, but he gets killed by the alien.
What about if the alien would, if we have the aliens have voices, and it's Rob Schneider, and it's like
get also to get a comedians to do the voices
of
the aliens.
It's the cast of Grown Ups as aliens.
I think they just take the dialogue from Grown Ups and just have the aliens.
Right. I'm back on board.
Okay. Right. knew it'd sway you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty much it. Again, this is kind of the tail end of the opening sequence, so we're going to dive into the action pretty quick. Did you have anything else for minute two?
I am good.
All right. Well, hey, will you, if you're listening to this, hopefully you're already on board. So why don't you rate, review, and subscribe and tell a friend. So if you go to iTunes is still where, half of the podcast traffic in the world goes through.
I've noticed people keep calling it Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Because I guess iTunes
is split off from...
Yeah.
So Apple Podcasts, I'm sorry.
Yeah, or wherever you.
However you listen to it, go see if you can give us a rating, a good rating preferably. Review, give us a good review. If there's something that you liked, write that in there. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody gave us a bad review. They gave us a 1-star review the other day because they couldn't figure out how to get the earlier episodes. And you know how to get the earlier episodes? Subscribe.
Mm-hmm. It's the third tenant.
That's right. Rate, review, subscribe, and they didn't get past two. They just went. They're like, 1-star rating, review.
I can understand being frustrated by that, but 1-star.
And
why not like 2-star? I like the show, but it sucks that I can't get the first two episodes. 2 stars.
But he kind of wrote it with a question too. It's like, how do I get the old episodes? It's like, well, that's not what a 1-star review is. That's a rating of you. 1-star. You get 1-star for not figuring out that you have to subscribe. That's that's the other part.
No show for you.
And what is that? Some kind of reference to? Also, tell a friend. Tell other people. We talk about this a lot, that there's, especially with the, in recent times, I feel like Star Wars fans have, some of them have given themselves a bad name of sort. They've been extra kind of... obnoxious at times. Not obviously not the majority of them, but some.
Not you guys.
No, not you listening to this. But there's a lot of good Star Wars fans out there, and there's a handful of bad apples. Mm-hmm. And so if you, if I'd say to somebody, "Yeah, we do a Star Wars podcast," sometimes it's a little bit like, I mean, even though I love Star Wars, and I know you guys love Star Wars, it's still a little bit like, I don't feel like I want to get lumped in with those guys. So if you know somebody who might like this, even if they're not super into Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about it. Tell them,
see what they say.
Find an episode with somebody that they like that they've heard of, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a good way to get somebody into it. But
yeah.
And hopefully there'll be more of those this year. We're going to have all kinds of guests this season. It's going to be, there's new ones, there's old favorites. It's a bag of excitement waiting to be opened.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Is it a good way to put it? Do all that stuff, and then we'll be back tomorrow, right here, with a brand new episode of Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.